Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Creation Chapter 9 The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev in the Presence of Lord Krishna Text Number 48, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Prahlad Nrisinga Ki Jai, Nathaji Gopalaji Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tato Yudhishthira Gatva Saha Krishna Gajavayam Pitarang Santvayam Asa Gandharim Cha tapasvanim tato yudhishthiro gatva saha krishna gajavayam pitaram santvayam asa gandharim cha tapasvanim tata thereafter Yudhishthira, Maharaj Yudhishthira, Gatva, going there, Saha, with, Krishna, the Lord, Gajavayam, the capital named Gajavaya, or Hastinapur, Pitaram, unto his uncle Dhritarashtra, Santvayam Asa, consoled, Gandharim, the wife of Dhritarashtra, Cha, and Tapasvinim, an ascetic lady. Please repeat. Thereafter, Maharaj Yudhishthir at once went to his capital, Hastinapur, accompanied by Lord Sri Krishna. And there he consoled his uncle and aunt Gandhari, who was an ascetic. Purport. Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, the father and the mother of Duryodhan and his brothers, were the elder uncle and aunt of Maharaj Yudhishthir. After the battle of Kurukshetra, the celebrated couple, having lost all their sons and grandsons, were under the care of Maharaj Yudhishthir. They were passing their days in great agony over such a heavy loss of life and were practically living the life of ascetics. The death news of Bhishma Dev, uncle of Dhritarashtra, was another great shock for the king and the queen, and therefore they required solace from Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir was conscious of his duty, and he at once hurried to the spot with Lord Krishna and satisfied the bereaved Dhritarashtra with kind words from both himself and the Lord also. Gandhari was a powerful ascetic, although she was living the life of a faithful wife and kind mother. It is said that Gandhari also voluntarily closed her eyes because of the blindness of her husband. A wife's duty is to follow the husband 100%. And Gandhari was so true to her husband that she followed him even in his perpetual blindness. Therefore, in her actions, she was a great ascetic. Besides that, the shock she suffered because of the wholesale killing of her 100 sons and her grandsons was also certainly too much for a woman. But she suffered all this just like an ascetic. Gandhari, although a woman, is no less than Bhishma Dev in character. They are both remarkable personalities in the Mahabharata. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama harinama harinamai vakivalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Yudhishthira is very much similar to Lord Ram in that he always sets the ideal example. And I find it myself quite amazing that although Dhritarashtra and his sons were so antagonistic throughout their lives against Yudhishthira and his brothers, they cheated him out of his kingdom. They tried to kill Bhima with poison. They tried to have them killed, supposedly putting them up in a house, but that house was simply designed to be set on fire. So many injustices Yudhishthira had to accept. And yet, after all is said and done, after this, Dhritarashtra is living in the house of Yudhishthira and is being treated with such respect and admiration. And that's why later we will read in the 13th chapter how Vidura will return and he will chastise his brother that here you are living under the same roof as Bhima. Have you no shame? Vidura, from the very beginning, was always trying to advise his elder brother on the right course. For instance, when Duryodhan was born, there was the 100 pots, and from those 100 pots came, because Gandhari, what happened? She found out that Kunti gave birth before her. So she struck her abdomen because she did not like that Kunti gave birth first. So she gave birth to a lump of flesh, but then Vyasadeva arranged and that there would be 100 pots. I think they put ghee in each pot and out came the 100 sons. Am I right in that story? And the first one was Duryodhan. But when Duryodhan was born, there was not flower petals. What was happening when Duryodhan was born? Earthquakes, meteors, flames, jackals. There were all these inauspicious signs. And so Vidura immediately told his brother, abandon this child now, because this child is going to be the cause of the destruction of the whole dynasty. But Dhritarashtra could not listen. Why? Attachment. That's why we are advised in the Bhagavad Gita repeatedly, give up attachment to enjoying in this material world. And then throughout the whole life, repeatedly, not only Vidura, even Bhishma, tried to influence Dhritarashtra to do the right thing. But again, because of Dhritarashtra's attachment, he was attached to being the king, and he was too attached to his son, especially Duryodhan. Never chastised him, never got on his case, never said no. Spoiled him rotten. All because of attachment. And even what I find wonderful, even Sanjaya, his close personal servant, Sanjaya was very affectionate to Dhritarashtra. And Sanjaya also warned him, don't fight this battle. You're going to lose. Because Sanjaya was a great devotee of Krishna. And Sanjaya knew that Krishna was God. Because there's that discussion at some point where Dhritarashtra questions Sanjaya. How come you accept Krishna as God and I don't? It's very interesting. And Sanjaya responds, because you do not practice austerity, you don't take the association of saintly persons, you're not a devotee, so how can you accept Krishna as God? You're not doing any of the things that would allow you to accept Krishna as God. Because, as I've preached many times, if you have come to that point in your evolution, we are all souls. We do not accept Darwin's nonsense bodily evolution. We accept soul evolution or de-evolution. Because some souls are going down. Some are staying like this. Some are elevating. So, Brahmanda Brahmate Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. The soul is rotating. So, if the soul at some point comes to the realization and accepts, yes, Krishna is God, according to the Bhagavad Gita, how long does that take? What's the verse? Yes. Bahunam Janmanam Ante. There's your verse. After many hundreds and thousands of births, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, somebody comes to the point. So I preach to people, that's a gift. That's not automatic to come to the point of accepting Krishna as God. Even in Hindu society, many people don't accept Krishna, right? I've met so many people. They may accept Lord Shiva. I've met many people like that. Or they accept Ganesh or Durga, but not Krishna. They don't accept Krishna. And I've seen it so many times. People come, they stand right in front of the deity. The kirtan is going on, and this is how they are. They can't chant Krishna's name. They're afraid. You know why they're afraid? Huh? Yes, exactly. They're afraid that if they chant Hare Krishna, I'll lose my car, I'll lose... That's how some people think. I've seen it in L.A. all over, wherever I go. They'll stand right up front, but... And I'm looking at them. It's amazing. So, this point in your evolution where you accept that Krishna is God, that is so precious. And you can lose it too. You can lose it. You can lose it by offenses or grievous sinful activities. You can lose that. I've seen that as well. I've seen that. I've seen in the case of one God brother, he became a Christian. After surrendering. So you have to really cherish this jewel that you have, this faith that Krishna is God. Because practically speaking, until the point that we actually see Krishna and realize Krishna, we're running on faith. Let's be honest. Right now, if somebody was to challenge me, have you seen God? I can't say that I have. Yes, I'm seeing the deity. But there's nothing I can say factually, verifiably, yes, I have realized Krishna. I'm on the process. I'm working towards it. I have every reason to believe that I will. But I'm not going to bluff and say, yes, I have seen God. No, can't bluff like that. You are what you are. You can't pretend to be something you're not. We're in the process. We're in training. Just like athletes, they go through rigorous training. My grandson, he is training to be an Olympic swimmer. So he does very severe sadhana, but not our sadhana. His sadhana is early in the morning, 4 hours in the water. In the afternoon, again, 4 hours in the water, every day. So he's in swimming sadhana. Sadhana has to be there, whether you are a materialist or a spiritualist. You have to do that. So, this gift that Krishna is God, it's such a precious gift. Now, if somebody was to ask me, how is it, because I've been asked millions of times, how is it that I accept Krishna as God? There's only one answer. Prabhupada. That's the only reason. There's no other reason. I didn't independently come to the conclusion. Because of Prabhupada's books, because of Prabhupada's movement and his devotees, you heard the story I told about eating prasad, all right? And seeing Prabhupada in 3D, okay? Seeing him, he even touched my arm once. That's a whole nother story. But at least I can say he tapped my arm. I'll tell you the story. I was getting Brahman initiation in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada first showed me how to count on the fingers. So I passed that test, no problem. Then we went over each word of the mantra, Om, and Prabhupada was here, I was there. Om, Om, Bhur, I had to repeat every word. So I was good in Sanskrit, no problem. So it looks like I'm doing good. So then Prabhupada turns to put the Brahman thread on me. And me, thinking I'll help Prabhupada because I'm stupid, I raised this arm. So as soon as I raised this arm, Prabhupada went like this. He gently pulled my arm down and said to me, looked right at me because I'm right here next to him. Prabhupada looked at me and said, have you not seen the others? And I went like this. And then his face changed in a second from puzzled to like an old grandfather. He said, all right. And he put the thread on me. as if to say, I know you're a stupid idiot, but I'm going to give you Brahmin initiation anyway. And I was so freaked out, I paid my obeisances and ran out the door. I didn't know, I was like totally lost. That's me, okay? That's who you're getting class from, an idiot, a mudha. I blew it because I'm less intelligent. There was my chance to say something, to ask Prabhupada. I didn't get much chance to be with Prabhupada. This was my chance. But I was in such illusion, such in Maya, such an idiot. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, we're talking about this gift of so, the only reason I accept Krishna is because of Prabhupada. And whatever it may be, according to Prahlad Maharaj, this is the accepted process. That unless you get the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, then you're not going to come to that position of accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to serve a great devotee. I also regularly preach that people will say, I don't have faith. So the solution is, because you can't go on the internet and get faith. You can't get that at Amazon.com. Could I have some faith, please? Does it work that way? So how do you get faith? So I tell people the way to get faith is to find somebody who has faith and associate with them. Then by their association, you will get infected little by little. And it works in the material sense also. If me or anyone was to give up the association of devotees and you start associating with non-devotees, by that association, you will also become degraded. That happened to me before being a devotee. I started to hang out with musicians and then started to hang out with people who did drugs. And I was like Prahlad said, I mentioned yesterday, Prahlad said, I was gradually going into a blind well of snakes. So that was exactly my condition. By associating with sinful people, I was becoming sinful more and more. And one thing led to another, all by association. So that's why association is critical, which is why Prabhupada opened temples. Sometimes people ask that question. Why do we need temples? You need temples so that you can have association. That's why you need, after all, we're an international society for Krishna consciousness. If we try to do Krishna consciousness on our own, Maya's too strong. She's too powerful. Daivyesha Gunamayi. She's Krishna's potency. She's empowered. What is she empowered? To delude the conditioned soul. To disattract the Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Prahlad Nasringa ki jai. Nath ji Gopal ji ki jai. Maya's business is to distract you, disattract you, delude you, pull you away from Krishna. That's her service. And she has all of that potency from Krishna. That's why it says, Duratyaya, insurmountable. I give the example all the time. Here we have the Atlantic Ocean. How far is it away? Atlantic Ocean, not very far, right? Right? So, do you think you can swim from Newark to London? How far you will go? Come on. Ludicrous. How far you... My grandson, he is a distance swimmer, and he does open water swimming. He's not going to be able to swim to London from Newark. Not possible. And we say, Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of material existence, the analogy is even there. So the material energy is too powerful. So on your own, no. You cannot cross over on your own. You need as much help as possible. So Prabhupada created these temples for people to get facility to associate with other devotees. And by associating with other devotees, your faith becomes strengthened. That's another reason why I like to do preaching with Indian people. Because I get inspiration from you. I look at you and I compare myself what I was like before coming to Krishna consciousness. And I become enlivened by getting your association. I've been doing primarily preaching to Indian people since 1994. Since 1994, every weekend I'm in India. I'm in a different Indian home every weekend from 1994. And also, besides ISKCON temples, I also do preaching in sometimes Hindu temples, which is a whole nother mindset. I can't preach the same way in a Hindu temple that I can in a Prabhupada temple. I have to tone it down a bit. Otherwise, they'll kill me. But I still have to preach that Krishna is God. Right? But you have to be a little clever. So I benefit greatly by associating with you. When I go to your homes, I see how you conduct yourselves. It's a lot different than Western culture. Your Indian culture is wonderful. It has so many great qualities. And it really makes me humble. Really humbles me. Because my experience has been that an Indian person, before they come to Krishna consciousness, they're very close. You just have to scratch a little bit and light the fire, boom, and then they take off. So that's the art of preaching to Indian people. Just find that one, I was telling you how Brisbane Temple, everything is run so nicely. Your temple, you have such a nice congregation. Yes, it's very, very nice. Thank you for your association. Thank you very much. And you're very, another thing you have very soft hearts. You have soft hearts. You're not hard-hearted. Westerners tend to be hard-hearted. Hope I'm not offending anybody out there. I'm just speaking from my experience. That's all. So in today's verse, there is this one word, Krishna. Krishna has appeared in today's verse. So Krishna, by reading Krishna book, and I've read it completely several times, by reading Krishna book, my love for Krishna deepens. It was Krishna book that convinced me to surrender to Prabhupada. After Krishna killed Putana, I was convinced that I should surrender to Prabhupada's movement. So I've read Krishna book cover to cover several times. And people ask me many times, oh, how often do you go to India? And I go, I don't need to go to India. First of all, I'm in India every weekend, as I already said. And then secondly, all I have to do is sit down and read Krishna book. I'm in Vrindavan. I'm in Dwarka. Really. I get so much satisfaction just getting absorbed in the histories of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And of course, Krishna is appreciated by his holy name. We understand from the scriptures, Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee, he told his consort Parvati that I chant the name Ram. And this holy name of Ram is equal to 1,000 names of God. At the same time, all the names of God are equal. Huh? It's true. All the holy names of God are the name of God. And at the same time, the name of Ram is equal to 1,000 names. Materially, that does not make sense. But like I said previously, you have to stop thinking materially. You have to think spiritually. The elephant on the dish. The elephant through the eye of a needle. Faith. Lord Chaitanya says, the difference between the Kanishna, Madhyam, and Uttama is the degree of faith. So that's what Lord Shiva says. Anybody going to argue with Lord Shiva? I'm not going to argue with Lord Shiva. If he says 1,000 names of Vishnu equals one Ram, I'm going to accept it. After reading different pastimes of Lord Shiva in the Mahabharata and in other places in the Bhagavatam, no. If Lord Shiva says something, after all, he's also one of the Mahajans, so he's authorized. He knows Narada Shambhu, his name is there. Brahma Narada Shambhu. Yes, he's one of the Mahajans. But then there's this other verse where it says, you utter the name of Ram three times. Ram, Rama, Rama. That is equal to one utterance of the name Krishna. So sometimes when I'm preaching, like in college classrooms, I make a joke. This Maha Mantra is the mantra on steroids because it is so powerful. I will tell you one story. Many, many years ago, after getting my Brahman initiation, I met one previous female acquaintance. Her name was Nancy. So Nancy now is seeing me as a devotee. She had known me as a hippie. So this was new for her. Wow. Shaved head, brahmachari, tilak. So she wanted to know, well, what is this chanting? Why you do this chanting? What is this chanting all about? So I said, okay, you sit in this chair. So she sat in the chair, and I sat on the floor at her feet. And so I looked at her, I went, Nancy, Nancy. She understood. What is this chanting? It's a personal connection. We're calling to God as a person. If any person comes up to you and starts glorifying you, you're not going to be paying attention. Right? God, and Prabhupada writes in First Canto, he wrote earlier, we already read it. God is no different. He's a person. He enjoys when people glorify him. It's psychology. So when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then we are personally associating with God. So, we study Srimad Bhagavatam in order to become attached to chanting. Prabhupada writes that. The purpose of reading Bhagavatam is to become attached to chanting. But the thing is, the more you chant, the more you want to read Bhagavatam. One feeds the other. Now, if somebody has actually appreciated, if somebody has actually gotten a glimpse, then what do they want to do? They want to give it to others. Therefore, the devotee goes out and gives Krishna consciousness to others. And among the many ways to give Krishna consciousness, we have two. Do you also go on book distribution? But you two are the two. He goes? You're the Sankirtan team. Jai. So, those who go out on Sankirtan, they are glorious. Those who go out and give Krishna consciousness to others, they are blessed by Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. There's no doubt about it. And your Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. I will tell you another story. I just thought of a story. Many, many years ago, during the 70s, there was one devotee in Boston. So he was, you could say, fanatic. He would go out every day to distribute books. Now, back in the 70s, there was this thing, deprogrammers. Parents, usually wealthy parents, did not like their children joining a cult. So there was this organization. And what they would do is they would promise the parents for a fee, we will kidnap your child, brainwash them, and we'll get them out of this cult. So this book distributor looks like he came from a wealthy Jewish family. So they kidnapped him, and they had many, many tactics how they would brainwash. So he became bewildered and once again became a non-devotee. One day this devotee was in a bar drinking at a bar. But on the bar, somebody had left a book, Reservoir of Pleasure, a book he used to distribute. As soon as he saw the book, he snapped out of it, went back to the temple. That is the power of book distribution. You see that? These books are so powerful. I became a devotee initially because of the books. Two books, that's all it took to convince me. Before I met Prabhupada, before I had prasadam, I was already convinced just by reading the books. Prabhupada's books are unique. They're very unique. They are empowered. Those books are empowered. So our movement is a most merciful movement. Our movement is meant to help Lord Chaitanya, Patita Pavana, the most fallen. And as Kali Yuga progresses, people are becoming more and more and more fallen. I thought we had hit rock bottom in the hippie days. But I see now in the new millennium, the degradation is, who is telling me? Oh yes, this girl that came to the temple recently. She was telling me how sad it is in New York City. So many kids now are addicted to heroin. Is that true? Oh my God. So Kali Yuga is just getting so vicious. The headlines are incredible. So going out and saving the fallen conditioned souls. You all know, Prabhupada said, if they read one word, they get so much benefit. If they even touch the book. So, may Krishna bless you, empower you, and may you have a wonderful... Are you going out today? Okay. Well, you can only do what you can do. Are you going out today? Okay. Anyway, next time you go out, Parang Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. May Krishna bless you and protect you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.